We're continuing the study in the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 6. And I would like to read verses 9 through 14 and pick up verse 8 by way of review from last Sunday so that we can see the context of what Paul is trying to the thoughts that he's trying to get over to us. These are some very significant verses, particularly for your personal lifestyle. Today we're living in a lifestyle of gratification, satisfaction, instant reward, no waiting. And obviously we don't have to wait very long. We had oatmeal this morning, which is very good. But I didn't have to cook it 5 minutes. Only had to cook it one. And because I don't like to stand there and stir for 5 minutes. The same thing with instant grits. You know, we want instant news. And the way the internet is and the way the television is, you can see and hear and know of activities around the world instantly. So Paul is trying to get over to us a lifestyle that will honor and glorify God. And one of the things, of course, it's not waiting is not in this passage of Scripture, but one of the things that we find out about God is that God is a God who likes to wait. He is in no big hurry. And we're the ones that are always squirming. We're wanting more. We're wanting better. And we want it when? Now. So I'm going to read Romans chapter 6, verses 9 through 14 for us. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. I think next Sunday we will probably deal beginning with verse 14, because there's a lot in being under grace. And a lot of people dismiss the thought of accountability to God in living a godly life as not being under the law. If you're not under the law, the moral law, you're lawless. And we need to be controlled. Our appetites need to be controlled. I was just thinking about what's been on the news here recently. This fellow that has been making a presentation of the meth problem among the teenagers, and not only the teenagers but adults as well, where I think 3 students passed out in the presentation, and 9 or 10 others got real woozy because of the graphic pictures. But the thought that I want to share with you is this: this fellow tried meth one time and he was totally addicted to it. And the only way that he thought he could escape it is through suicide. And he tried it with a gun, and he couldn't aim it very well. Shot himself in the head. When he put the gun under his chin, it didn't go this way, it went this way. And he's still alive today to tell about it. But you know, we need to be aware of the fact that we can become addicted to sin. And we need to be careful about our lifestyle, that we will not be caught up in the sins of this world. And it has to do with denying ourselves. This passage of Scripture is talking about denying ourselves. I'm going to read Romans 6:8 for review, where it says, "If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him." This is a conditional clause. If. Some people want to say that this is a first-class conditional, meaning that everyone who is saved is automatically dead with Christ. But that's not true. We all know that we can allow sin to get out of control in our life, and that we can live for our own purposes and our own ambitions. And this passage of Scripture says here, if we be dead with Him, we believe that we shall live with Him. We shall also live with Him. What does it mean to live with Him? Well, first of all, it says, if we be dead. This is something we need to do, is we need to reckon ourselves dead. We're not dead physically. We're not dead mentally. But we need to reckon ourselves. We need to count ourselves as being dead to self. Jesus Christ died to self when He cried, "Abba, Father, not my will, but Thine be done." And we need to be able to pray that prayer as well. And I know that I pray that prayer. One of the things that I let the Lord know is that, "Lord, I want to mean this from my heart. I don't want to just say the words of Mark 14:36. I want to mean them. I want them to be sincere in my heart, that I want His will to be done." So I need to reckon myself to be dead. That's what we see in Romans 6:11. "Reckoned ye yourselves." And by the way, this is in the present tense. This is an ongoing thing. It's not an event. That's what the present tense tells us. The middle voice tells us this, that I am doing that for myself. God's not making you dead to self. If it was Him making me dead or reckoning myself to be dead, it would be in the passive voice. But it's in the middle voice. That means that I'm the one that's doing the dying. I am the one that is doing the reckoning, not God. God wants me to live a life dead to self, but this is a choice that I have to make, and that you have to make as well. And if we reckon ourselves to be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. And but this is future, but what we need to do is, what we need to see is that we need to be living present tense, or present time. And so therefore, if we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto the sin, by the way, there is a definite article "the" before sin in the Greek text, and this, I am persuaded, is the sin of lawlessness. Let me tell you take care of the sin of lawlessness, and you take care of all sin. Because the sin of lawlessness is the sin where you justify the sin that you want to practice, the sin that you want to do. And you take, and you die to the sin of lawlessness, that takes care of all the sin that can come up in your life. It's not that you won't sin, because all of us do. But as soon as we do, conviction, conscience, what do? We confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. It's the sins that we will not confess are the sins of lawlessness. Now, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This word "alive" is in the present tense. We're to be alive today. And the only way we can be living a life that is alive unto God, not unto self, not unto the world, not unto the flesh, not unto the devil, but unto God, is through Jesus Christ. And this word through can be translated by means of Jesus Christ our Lord. In fact, the word Jesus Christ is really in the Greek text is in reverse order, and that means that the emphasis is on Christ. And so what does this mean? Living unto God by means of Jesus Christ. Well, Christ is my high priest. And the only way I can live unto God is if I exercise His high priestly office. What is He doing in heaven today? He is at the right hand of the Father interceding on your behalf and mine. And the Holy Spirit is also interceding on our behalf. But Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. And He is at the throne of grace, where we come for mercy, that is cleansing and forgiveness, and grace, which is the power of Christ. If you don't have grace in your life, you have no power. But we live unto God by His grace, and that is by means of Jesus Christ. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, to live with Him is to reign with Him. What does it mean to reign? It means to be part of Christ's administration in His coming kingdom. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. In the millennial reign of Christ, there is rank. A king is over a lord. And if He is the King of kings, He is over all kings and lords. There's a chain of command in the coming kingdom. Not all of us will wear the war bonnet of the chief, if you know what I'm saying. We can't all be chiefs. We can't all be kings. And so what it means to be dead or to live with Him is to reign with Him. 2 Timothy 2, verse 11 and 12. It is a faithful saying. What he's saying here, you can count on this. Believe it. This is faithful stuff. This is good stuff. For if we be dead, aristactive, or have died with Him, we shall also live with Him, future. If we suffer, present active, it's better translated endure. If you're a faithful Christian, if you're a faithful child of God, you're not on again, off again, you're faithful to Him, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. This has nothing to do with our salvation. This has to do with ruling and reigning with Christ. If you don't let Christ reign in your life today, you're not going to reign with Him in His coming kingdom. And for Him to reign in your life today, you have to submit to His will. You have to cry, Abba, Father, not my will, but Thine be done. And so that's what it means, I believe, that if we die to self, die to our plans and purposes, we will live with Him and reign with Him in His coming kingdom. Now, Romans 6:9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, out of the dead ones, actually, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. Now, this verse of Scripture really gave me a problem at first, because I found out that the word dieth is in the present tense. And the word dominion is also in the present tense. I thought Jesus Christ died instantly. But I found out that that's not really the case. In fact, it was interesting. We were listening to WCTS, the Bible station, and there was an author on there that had a book that he had written. And there was a research team in England that found out that when a body dies or a person dies, his brain doesn't right away. It lives and is active for up to 12 minutes. That's interesting. I didn't realize that. I did know that just because your body dies does not mean your hair dies. I did know that your hair, you would still need a haircut every now and then. Anyway, death is an interesting thing. It's an interesting phenomenon. But here we find the word dying or dieth is in the present tense. It's a process. And that physical death is what I believe is no longer having dominion over him. Because as long as he was in his body of flesh and blood and bones, death would have dominion over him in the sense that he could physically die. And I know that when Jesus or when the people picked up stones to stone him, he knew that those stones could kill him. And so what he did is just simply said, later. And he would walk through their midst and they couldn't find him. So, now, but here's what I found. In John chapter 4, verse 47, it says, when he, that is the nobleman, that's in verse 46, heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death, or dying in the present tense. So dying in the present tense can be a point. In other words, he wasn't dead yet, but he was doing it. He was dying. And of course Jesus said, you're going home, your boy is okay. He's alive. He won't die. And that's the way it happened. Then when you read in John chapter 12, verses 32 and 33, it says, if I be lifted up from the earth, and I believe that's talking about the cross on which he was crucified, I will draw all men unto me. And that's the reason why when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for the sins of the whole world, all men. This he said, signifying what death he should be dying. The word die is present active as well. Process. But there came a time while Jesus was dying on the cross, he said, it is finished. That part of his work was done. But his high priestly office was just getting ready to begin when he was raised from the dead. And I think of this passage, I just happened to think of a verse in John chapter 1 about what Jesus Christ, the fact that he would draw all men unto himself. It tells us in John 1 in verse 9, verse 8. He was not that light. Well, let me back up a little further. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That is, be saved. That's aorist. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know what? Every human being that comes into the world that can have a thinking process, and I appreciate the fact that there's some adults that cannot think, and obviously fetuses cannot think, he will give light to every man. I think enough light that if they responded to it, God would honor it. Why give light to every man so that God can punish him more? That's not the way God is. He will draw every man unto himself. So, this passage of scripture in Romans chapter 6 verse 9, Christ being raised from the dead ones. And this is talking about those that have died, dead ones, plural. And he dieth no more. In other words, death has no more dominion over him. He is not subject to physical death anymore. Now, verse 10 of Romans 6. For in that he died, this is aorist. This is an event. I believe this is talking about when he said it is finished. He died, aorist, active indicative, there's no doubt about it. Some people think that Jesus fainted on the cross and they poked him in a cold tomb and he came to. You know, it's amazing what the philosophy and the logic of man will do to the truth. Jesus died. And a Roman soldier could tell the difference, particularly ones that were executing hundreds of men a year. And he died unto the sin. Now, it's interesting here, dying unto sin. Actually, this word sin is in the dative case. And it would be better translated, he died for the sin. For is the preposition needed in this phrase. He died for the sin of lawlessness how many times? Once. And like I told you before, lawlessness takes care of every sin. And even the idea of being able to practice any sin. But in that he liveth unto God. The word liveth in the latter part of this verse, both of these are in the present tense. He is living today. And he is living unto God, would be better translated, with God. He's living with him. He's there with him. The reason why I'm saying that, the dative case in the Greek grammar are prepositional phrases. And the prepositions that rule or operate in the dative case are the prepositions in, at, with, by, to, for. So you can, if it's just simply dative with no preposition, single preposition in the text, you can apply whichever one of those prepositions seems to fit. And it seems to fit better to me that Christ is with God today. Where is he? He is at the right hand of God the Father. He is with him. And he is living there. And what he is doing there, he is our high priest there. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, aorist. Yea, that is risen again. In other words, more is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Where is Jesus Christ today? He's with God the Father. And what is he doing? He is interceding on our behalf. Now, so we need, Christ died, physical death, death no more has dominion over him, and he died for the sin of lawlessness once, and he is now living at the Father's right hand. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead, indeed unto the sin of lawlessness, but alive, present active, living for God. This is also in the dative case. Living unto God, living for God, living to God. You see the significance of the dative case there, how you can see how it would apply. And how do we do that? It's by means of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Christ is our high priest. Jesus is his earthly name. And he is to be Lord. He is to be in charge. We're to be submissive to him. He is to reign in your life and mine. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. We've already referred to these verses before, but it's good to read them. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, which is passed into the heavens. It's perfect tense. It's interesting. He passed into the heavens 2,000 years ago, and he's still there. That's what that means to me. He passed into the heavens, and he hadn't left. Praise God for that. If he'd left, we'd be sunk. He's still there. That's what the perfect tense tells me. To me, let me just tell you this. Using grammar in the study of scriptures, or studying the scriptures, let me put this, let me back up a little bit. Studying the scriptures without grammar is like having a yardstick with no inches on it. You understand that? If you've got a yardstick and you don't have any inches mark on it, you'll only hit it what it means every yard, and you don't know what's in between. And so studying the scriptures without grammar is like having a yardstick with no numbers on it. You get more information, in other words, when you get to use the grammar. Okay? He's in the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hold fast is present active, subjunctive. That means that I don't necessarily have to hold fast. I can quit. I can abandon my Lord and not honor Him. For we have not a high priest. In other words, what this is saying is that we do have a high priest, and he can be touched. You know what? We live in a body that is subject to feelings. You get a feeling. I got a feeling here on my side, on the right side, after I got up from a nap yesterday. And I said, uh-oh, I may have appendicitis. Well, either that or cancer or some gross thing. Well, what I think happened was I'm just sleeping on my right side for 2 hours or for whatever long the, for an hour and a half it was. And it just got cramped down there. It just got squashed or something. But you know what? I had it till I went to bed. When I got up this morning, it was gone. So, you know, when anytime you, the Lord knows that we can, that we live in a body that has feelings, and feelings affect what we think. And you know what? He can be touched with our feelings. He had feelings. And he understands that. And so therefore, he can be touched with our feelings of our infirmities. And was all points tested like we are, but he didn't sin. He's without sin. He can help us. He is our high priest. And so therefore, Romans 6:12, and I think we will end here. We'll pick up, Lord willing, with the rest of our verses next week. In Romans 6:12, he says, "Let not the sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies." Did you know that the sin of lawlessness can reign in your body of feelings? Mortal bodies means that it's alive, and you can, and it can feel, and it can respond to environment. In fact, it's our bodies that respond to lust. And so therefore, we're not to let the sin of lawlessness reign in our bodies. And I'm going to close with this one verse, Romans 5:21. That as the sin of lawlessness has reigned unto death, let us all, even so my grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The sin of lawlessness will cost you life for the age. That's what eternal life is. Actually, the literal translation of that is age-lasting life. And age-lasting life is a reference to a particular age, and it's the millennial age. And if you let the sin of lawlessness reign in your life, you're going to lose ruling and reigning with Christ. If grace reigns in your life, you're going to enter in to a life of honor and glory in positions of a king or a lord in the administration of Jesus Christ as He rules and reigns over the earth. May God help us to see the value of letting Him be in charge and not submitting to the feelings of the lust of our flesh and the desires of our life in contrast to the desires that God would have for us. May the Lord help us to see the value of submitting to His will. Father, I just pray that You would bless the thoughts of this message to each one of us. May we, Lord, stand in Your presence approved, having done Your will, having submitted to You. We do want to hear a well done, thou good and faithful servant, and we do want to enter into the joy of the Lord. Hitherto have You asked nothing in My name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. And we ask You for these blessings in Your name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.